So the passage today is, and thank you, Vicky, for reading it out, is Acts 5. And I've taken most of my sermon today from the part of chapter 5, verse 1 to 11. So the story of Ananias and Sapphira. It's an interesting and challenging story. So imagine walking into your local newspaper agent, which most of us wouldn't do because we don't generally buy a lot of newspapers these days. However, still picture yourself walking in and you're about to go buy the local newspaper. Now, all the headings are slightly different, but they're all indicating the same thing as you just glance across all the papers. The Courier Mail reads, "Hypocrisy killed a local couple in the church." The Australian reads, "Lying to God struck a husband and wife down." The Gympie Times reads, "Husband's dishonest act and desire for man's approval got himself and his wife killed." The headlines no doubt would grab your attention. And you may want to know a little bit more as to what the full story is. So this story in Acts, written by Luke, records that the church experienced great fear because of Ananias and Sapphira's death. And why wouldn't they? Before this incident, there were many wonderful things going on. And we've heard Tony and Ben preach on these over the last few Sundays as we've worked our way through Acts. And then we get to a story of two people that end up dead because of their deceit and desire to receive the praise of the church, the praise of men, without making the sacrifice and without having their hearts surrendered to Christ completely. Just before this story, we see Luke record the liberality of what was happening within the early church, with members selling land and giving the proceeds to the apostles. And then Luke writes two stories naming the people and their specific actions. We read in Acts 4:34, "There was not a needy person among them. For as many as were owners of lands or houses sold them and brought the proceeds of what was sold and laid it at the apostles' feet. And it was distributed to each as any had need. Thus Joseph, who was called by the apostles Barnabas, which means son of encouragement, a Levite, a native of Cyprus, sold a field that belonged to him and brought the money and laid it at the apostles' feet." So the first story we see is of a man called Barnabas. Now we know Barnabas goes on to be Paul's colleague in his ministry in later books of the New Testament. Barnabas is a good example of liberality done well, and his actions honoured God. We then get to the example of Ananias and Sapphira. And this is how not to practice liberality. Commentaries of Acts have said, "This story illustrates the honesty of Luke as a historian. He did not suppress this sordid episode. It throws light on the interior life of the first Spirit-filled community. It was not all romance and righteousness." So what has Ananias and Sapphira done? They have gone and sold a piece of property. We learn in verse 3 that it is land. So as a married couple, Ananias and Sapphira owned a piece of land and together had decided to sell it. We can just picture them sitting around their dining room table discussing the property they have and how they could too sell it and give the proceeds to the apostles. There's nothing wrong with this. Many people in the church were doing this. So then Ananias has gone out and he sold the property, collected the money, and then with Sapphira, his wife's full knowledge, they have kept back some of the sale price of the property for themselves. So now we can see that the discussion obviously Ananias and Sapphira had was one that was quite scheming. It was one of agreements between them as to what was going to be done with the money. Their actions were premeditated in what they planned to do. But again, keeping a portion back for themselves was not wrong. It was theirs to do with what they wanted. We know this as we see Peter say to Ananias, in verse 4. While it remained unsold, did it not remain your own? And after it was sold, was it not at your disposal? There was no command on the day of Pentecost or instructions of Jesus prior to his ascension for people to sell all their properties and give the whole proceeds to the apostles. They had the right to choose what they wanted to do with their properties and with their money. We too have the right to choose what we want to do with the money, the properties, the possessions, the time God has entrusted to all of us. So what was underlying here? What was going on in their hearts? What was the decision that caused them to drop dead at Peter's feet? We read the answer at the end of verse 2 and into verse 3. Brought only a part of it and laid it at the apostles' feet. But Peter said, Ananias, why has Satan filled your heart to lie to the Holy Spirit and to keep back for yourself part of the proceeds of the land? Now, I can only imagine the look of shock on Ananias' face at this point in time. He would have thought he and Sapphira were going to get away with their deceitful act. He didn't think he was going to get caught, but here Peter calls him out on it. I remember when I was working up north in a small town called Ravenshoe. Some of you might have visited it. It's up in the Tablelands up north. I was a new police officer, and one night after finishing my shift, I'd gone to bed, and then I get a call that a break is on at the local butcher shop. Now, generally, this means that the offenders are still there, they've broken in, but are still on scene. So I've quickly dressed, run down to the station, grabbed my gear, and raced down to the butcher shop. As I pull up out the front of the shop and walk towards the shop, I hear a smashing sound. And then notice that a metal bar is being hit against the front glass panel of the front door of the butcher shop. I think to myself, this is going to be interesting. I think I'll just stand off to the side and see if the offender climbs out the front. And lo and behold, and sure enough, the glass is broken, and I see two scrawny arms place two overladen shopping bags full of meat out onto the footpath. And then I see a man start to climb out. And this is the part I'll probably remember the most, is when I spoke up and said something to him. His head snapped up to look at me. His eyes went wide with a total look of shock. Surprise and then guilt came all over his face. And then I think the reality of being caught set in. He provided no resistance. He didn't even bother getting up off the ground. He just laid down, put his arms behind his back, and said, "You got me, boss." Now, most people that I have come to experience or deal with who go out to commit offences don't expect they will get caught, or at the very least hope they don't get found out and caught for what they've done. I think this would be the same with Ananias. He didn't expect to be found out, or he didn't want to be found out. He thinks that he can give the remainder of the money, make out he has given all of it, and get all the praise and credit for his sacrificial generosity, without experiencing the full inconvenience of it all. But Peter confronts him and calls him out on what he has done. He is caught. He can't hide what he has done. He can't undo what he has done. He has been found out. Those that were giving like Barnabas, we can only assume, would have been getting some praise, credit for their generosity in giving away all their money, so that others would not be needy or going without within the new church. We would do the same today, would we not? If you knew someone gave to another in need, we would make a positive comment to them about their actions. If you were the receiving person of someone's generosity, we would take the time to thank them, acknowledge them in front of others for their kind deed that they have done to us or to others. Ananias, it would appear, was not giving so that the poor and the needy would be without. He was not giving so that God would be glorified. He was giving so that his own ego would be increased. And to do this, he told a lie. A commentary of Acts done by Gareth Rees says, and quote, "Hypocrisy is play acting. Hypocrisy consists in attempting to imitate the people of God or to assume the appearance of being religious without actually surrendering wholly to the will of God. This is what Ananias was doing as he secretly attempted to keep apart for himself. The Cambridge Dictionary defines hypocrisy as a situation in which someone pretends to believe something that they do not really believe, or that is the opposite of what they do or say at another time. Peter saw through Ananias' hypocrisy, the subtle activity of Satan working in his life, and he confronted Ananias, as we see in verse 3. Peter says, "Why, Ananias, why has Satan filled your heart?" Satan had planted a thought in Ananias' mind that appealed to his desire to be pleased of men. His earthly nature, the desires of his flesh, liked this thought that filled his mind. He could get the praise of men without having to give up all the money. Ananias was tempted by Satan and allowed the thought, the temptation, to take root and to grow in his heart. Ananias, it would appear, loved himself, loved his money more than he loved God and the people, and thus wanted to keep some for himself. Barnabas, on the other hand, as we see, it would appear, loved God, trusted in God, loved people, and so he was happy to give all the money away so that the other needs would be met. Barnabas had allowed God to change him from the inside out, so we would see that he loved God more than he loved the things around him. Ananias showed, unfortunately, that he loved things, loved money, loved his own ego more than he loved to see God glorified. It would appear he had not allowed God to change his heart. He was pretending to love God. He was faking it, hoping no one would notice that the core of his heart, nothing had truly changed. He wanted man's approval and the glory that came with that, than to see that God got all the glory. He wanted to wear the team's uniform, but not get out on the field, take the hits, make the tackles, get the dirt on his uniform, and play the game with 100% commitment and dedication. Now Ananias allowed Satan's temptation to turn into actions, and as such, he not only lied to men, but as we see, he lied to God. We then read that when Ananias heard these words from Peter, he fell down and breathed his last, and great fear came upon all who heard of it. He was then taken out and buried. We then see, 3 hours later, Sapphira, his wife, comes in, not knowing what has happened. Peter gives Sapphira a chance to repent by asking her how much the land was sold for. We could even possibly picture Peter pointing to a pile of money that maybe Ananias had brought in and saying, "Is this all the money you got for the sale of the property?" Peter gives her some time to think about it and decide how she is going to answer in response. But we see and read that she sticks to the plan that Ananias and her had talked about. She lies about the price and the total amount that was received, and so she too participated in the hypocrisy of her husband. She too, it would appear, wanted the praise of the church fellowship for the act of giving without making the sacrifice. Maybe when she first walked in, she was expecting to find her husband being held in high esteem in the midst of the fellowship for what they had done. But Peter then says, "How is it that you have agreed together to test the Spirit of the Lord? Behold, the feet of those who have buried your husband are at the door, and they will carry you out." She then dropped dead also, was carried out, and again great fear came upon the whole church and all who heard these things. We see in this that Luke records no words of Ananias in response to Peter's questions and statements about what he has done. Ananias just hears these words and drops dead. Sapphira gets a chance to repent and confess her sins, it would appear from Luke's record, but misses the opportunity and sticks with the hypocrisy, and her fate is fixed. And she drops dead. This is swift action from God. Why, we might ask ourselves, was there such swift action at this time on this hypocrisy displayed in his church? The story of Ananias and Sapphira has been compared by a number of commentaries to that of a fellow named Achan in the Old Testament. So Achan is when God's people, the Israelites, have entered the land God has promised to them. They go up against a city called Jericho. And were clearly told by God through Joshua not to take anything for themselves from the city when it was destroyed. Achan, however, sees some things and takes for himself some money and clothing after Jericho has fallen. It was when Israel then goes up against another city and are defeated that God informs Joshua that there is sin within their camp. Atkin's sin is found out, and he and his family, his animals, and all that he had are taken out and stoned to death. Again, very swift. F.F. Bruce makes an analogy. The story of Ananias is to the book of Acts what the story of Atkin is to the book of Joshua. In both narratives, an act of deceit interrupts the victorious progress of the people of God. Up until this story, we see that the church was of one mind and of one spirit. Many were selling, many were giving, and all needs were being met, it would appear, within the church. There was great fellowship between the believers. The Holy Spirit has been poured out. The apostles are preaching great sermons, and many were being added to their number daily. Exciting things. In this act of deceit of a hypocrisy, if this act of deceit and hypocrisy was to go unnoticed, unpunished by God, then it would appear that his church would have suffered in its infant stage of development. The church was just starting out, and it needed to be protected from people who had not wholly given themselves over to the work of God, who were just pretending in their commitment and had not devoted themselves to Christ. It would appear who still loved their earthly body desires more than they loved God, and to gain glory for themselves than to see that God was glorified in everything. This falsehood displayed by Ananias and Sapphira would ruin the fellowship that was being experienced, and so God put a swift stop to it. John Stott also writes, if the hypocrisy of Ananias and Sapphira had not been publicly exposed and punished, the Christian idea of an open fellowship would not have been preserved, and the modern cry, there are so many hypocrites in the church, would have been heard from the beginning. God knew his church had already faced persecution and would face more to come, and thus he could not allow this undesirable element to exist within the church. It would have drained the strength of the church. We can also learn from this story that we too need to live transparent lives before God. We need to make sure nothing comes between us and our relationship with God and the fellowship of the church. Ananias and Sapphira failed to maintain an honest, truthful, and transparent life within the church, but more importantly, before the Holy Spirit. Because of this, God struck them down, causing great fear to come upon all who heard. This fear that came upon the church caused them to pause and examine their own life. A verse in Philippians 2:12 reads, therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, so now, not only as in my presence, but much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. This story was a great act of God and warranted a person stopping and considering his or her own life. This story of Ananias and Sapphira need to cause us to stop and examine our own lives. To make us ponder, is there any behaviour in our lives that we know, if we were called out on it, would be seen as hypocritical, insincere, or two-faced? Do we love the things of the world, the praise or acceptance of others, more than we look to see that God be glorified? Have we allowed behavior or thoughts or temptations to take root in our hearts and minds that could be detrimental to the fellowship and growth of our church? Have we been confronted by a brother or sister in Christ about certain behaviors, but find ourselves and our weaknesses that we are too proud for to admit our wrong and humble ourselves? Ananias and Sapphira chose to harden themselves when found out, instead of humbling themselves, and this decision cost them their lives. Is there certain behaviors causing a strain on your personal relationship with God, and thus in turn affecting the greater body of Christ? Now, by God's grace, we may not drop dead in public setting. But as Numbers 32:23 says, "But if ye will not do so, behold, ye have sinned against the Lord, and be sure your sin will find you out." We may be able to lie to others. We may be able to pretend and act as if something, and act as if we are something in front of others, but we cannot hide anything from God or the Holy Spirit. We need to examine ourselves personally. And the wonderful news is that God gives us the opportunity to repent. If we confess our sins before Him, He will forgive us. His grace is sufficient. What we can also learn from this passage is that we need to protect the fellowship of our church. Satan will continue to bring persecution against the church from the outside, and will continue to attempt to destroy it with falsehood from within. Unfortunately, we find hypocrisy within our churches today by people who claim to love God but have not surrendered their lives completely to the Lordship of Jesus Christ. Or we find the strength of our churches being sapped due to stubbornness of those who sin and will not repent of that. The final part of this passage says, "And great fear came upon the whole church and upon all who heard of these things." This would suggest that people within the church and people outside of the church heard of these things and caused them to have a respect for the church. The church should be respected as it's God's, and God deserves all honor and respect. People outside of the church watch us. We all know this. They want to see that the life we confess to believe in is the life that we really live. People are very quick to spot a person faking or hypocrisy and then want nothing to do with it. So my challenge for us is that as believers in God, let us take time to pause to examine ourselves in fear of God, to make sure that we are not confessing to practice one thing, but in fact are doing another. If there be anything that stands in the way of Christ ruling and reigning in our lives, may we then be quick to repent of those things and stay right with God, so as not to hinder or restrict the work of God in our lives or in the life of our church. And just in closing, let me finish with a verse which is found in John chapter 1, verse 5 to 7. "This is the message we have heard from Him and proclaim to you, that God is light, and in Him is no darkness at all. If we say we have fellowship with Him while we walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light, as He is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, His Son, cleanses us from all sin." Just let me pray.